The practice of home funerals is on the rise. With the economic downturn and changing attitudes about death, more and more people are tending to their loved ones in life and death. There are coffin builders who will build you an inexpensive coffin that doubles as a bookshelf until your final exit, and death midwives who shepherd the family through the death process. I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm glad to be with you this morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kathleen Dunn is out this week. This hour, the rise of the home funeral, what it says about the economy, ourselves, and our attitudes about death. We're joined this morning by Jerry Grace Lyons. She's a death midwife and founder of the organization Final Passages. And we're always happy to hear from you. Does the idea of a home funeral appeal to you? And have you participated in a loved one's home funeral? And what do you think? Do you think Americans are ready to be more intimate with the dying process? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Jerry Grace Lyons, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Tell us first what Final Passages is. What do you do there?
Well, Final Passages is a nonprofit organization, and we educate people about their rights and practicalities about home and family-directed funerals. And we also tell people about green burials. And we do education by teaching courses, by doing presentations and in-services at hospices and all over. And we also have written a handbook on how to create and carry out a home funeral.
Well, tell us about home funerals and how you first got involved.
Well, I first got involved because a dear friend of mine died suddenly 15 years ago. In fact, today's her birthday.
Wow.
Would have been her birthday, her 71st birthday,
wow.
But she died when she was 56, 15 years ago. And she was a nurse taking care of an older woman in her home. She went to work one morning to care for this woman in her 80s, and after breakfast she said she wasn't feeling well. They called 911, and they came quickly, but they weren't able to resuscitate her. She died right there at the home, and they pronounced her on the way to the hospital. And then they found a little card in her wallet that said in the event of her death to call her dear friend Norma in San Francisco. And so they did, and they found out from Norma that Norma came up to the hospital and said that Carolyn had written out her instructions for what she wanted when she died, and she wanted her friends to take care of her and to not have her body just sent away to a mortuary, but rather to have her friends bring her body home and take care of her there, have her friends bathe her and dress her and do ceremony with her in her own home, and then take her to a crematorium and have her cremated. So Norma came up to the hospital, and the hospital was very surprised to hear her request to have her body be turned over to her.
I suppose 15 years ago, this would have been pretty new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had not had that request before. So they wanted to check it out further, and they found out it was legal for families to do a home funeral. And so by the next morning, they released her to Norma and her husband to bring her body home. And then, of course, through a phone tree, many of her friends had been informed about her sudden death. And, in fact, some of them went to the hospital to see her body. And then she was also a Reiki master. Which is Reiki is a form of healing work, and mm-hmm. So I don't know if all of the listeners know about Reiki, but it used to not be very well known, but now a lot of people have heard of it. It's used in hospitals. And so a lot of the Reiki people heard about it and went to the hospital. And but, you know, there she was. It was kind of hard to take in, and it was so sudden and shocking to all of us.
And I gather you were one of the friends who must have been called and asked to participate.
I was. I was definitely one of the friends called. I was out on a field trip and didn't find out till later, so I didn't go to the hospital immediately. But the next morning, her body was brought home by Norma and her husband, and then I was one of the people at the home waiting to receive her. And I helped prepare the space to receive her, the healing room where we had all done Reiki at her house. We fixed up and made it very beautiful and prepared to have her brought home. And we also called many more people and told them that there was going to be an open house that day for her, for people to come by and pay their last respects and be able to say goodbye to her, and also to have some kind of formal ceremony at the end of the day. So
the ceremony went on for one day then, was it?
We had one ceremony that evening. I mean, it was an informal through the day where people dropped in. Then that evening we had a formal ceremony there. And then the next morning, we prepared her body to take her to the crematorium, meaning that she was already dressed, and at that point, and had we had washed her and anointed her with some lovely fragrances and essential oils, and then we had her laid in the middle of the room where we all gathered around and did ceremony in the evening and met each other because we didn't all know each other. Mm. And then some people stayed through the night at her home with her body there. And then the next morning, the rest of us came back. And we placed her on in her van, the Norma and Forrest van, and took her to the crematorium. They had prepared a box there, just a cremation casket, and we placed her in that. And then we all went off to have a meal together. I did not think that I was going to be along through the whole, all those different times that people gathered. But interestingly, all the appointments I had that morning canceled. Hmm. And so I was able to be a part of it. I kept kind of saying goodbye to the group and then finding out that another appointment had canceled, and I ended up being back with the group. And eventually I just felt like I was meant to be with the group. And it almost felt like Carolyn was orchestrating everything, because so many things were happening that were, I don't know, just felt very magical, synchronistic, like we couldn't have planned it. It was happening in just a very perfect way.
Well, this is something that changed your life, this experience. Obviously, you're the founder of Final Passages. You're a death midwife now. But going into this day, you were fearful, weren't you?
I was a little bit anxious, for sure. I had never been around somebody who had died. And when her body was brought home, it was in a body bag. We had just seen her not very long ago, just within the week. We had all seen her, and she looked very alive and very vibrant. And it was hard to imagine in our minds that this person we knew so intimately was dead. That just didn't compute in our minds. Mm-hmm. We just, some people who had seen her at the hospital already had a chance to begin to absorb that But for me, it just felt very unreal, as I'm sure a lot of the listeners who have experienced a sudden death felt like they couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. So that's how I felt. And here she was in this body bag they were bringing in the house. And so, yes, I felt very anxious. What was she going to look like? How is it going to feel to me when I saw this dear friend that was dead? So I was just very anxious. And then we just started gathering some things. And Norma, her close friend, was also a nurse and had some experience around dying people and death. And so we looked to her to guide us. And she did that very well. And then we just got some things together that were very practical, a bowl of warm soapy water, some lavender oil, and began to get ready. And eventually we unzipped the body bag. And to my surprise, she looked very much like she was just sleeping. She had a very serene, peaceful expression on her face, almost like a little smile even. And she just looked like she could have opened her eyes and started talking to us. But she didn't, and her body was very cold because she had been in the hospital morgue all night.
What do you think it is about home funerals, based on your experience and what you do now, that is appealing to people at this moment in time? What do people get out of it that maybe they're not getting at a funeral parlor funeral?
Well, one of the biggest things is more time. They're getting a lot more time to say their goodbyes, to spend time with the person in the comfort of their own home. So they feel comfortable because they're in a familiar environment in the first place, and then the person is often lying on their bed or a bed that's familiar, and that makes them feel like they can sit there with the person, hold their hand, touch them, and talk to them, say things perhaps that they hadn't had a chance to say, or just maybe they want to pray from a prayer book. Maybe they want to sing to them. They have an opportunity to have the family interact. They can place things near their body or around their body, flowers, which is what we did. We put gardenias around Carolyn's body. She looked just like an angel lying there. They can have a chance to have ceremony like we did in the home, invite people so they can come in and really begin to have their death become a reality. Because for me, it wasn't a reality till I began to touch her body, feel the coolness. I think through the different senses, you get a chance to begin to accept it in your own body, feel it in the cells of your own body, the coolness, because the body does cool down after some time, whether they were in a morgue or not. And then also you get to see the person's face, and what we've seen over the years, I've helped over 300 families with their home funerals, and more times than not, within the first 24 to 48 hours, the person's face relaxes, and the expression on their face is very...
Really?
Really, yes. It really softens, and very often, there's a little smile that appears on their face. I've had so many of my clients tell me, I can't believe it. It looks like Mom is smiling. And it's true. It happens. And a lot of people miss that when the body's taken away very quickly. So that's another thing that's really helpful, is people are left with a sense of peace.
Are home funerals for everyone, or are there some people who just aren't ready for this?
Well, I think in our culture, we've just for so long we've been, I'd say, giving away this opportunity. We at some point we stopped feeling like we could handle this emotionally, and so a lot of people are I'd say led to believe that emotionally they can't handle it. But I think that's just because we haven't been doing it for a while. At one time, everyone did this. This is nothing new that I'm talking about. This is something that everyone's done, back in the early 1900s.
Right. It used to be just how you took care of your loved ones, your family, but we've become so distanced from death.
Yeah.
The body is whisked away. And some of those funerals are very beautiful, but I'm wondering if you see changing attitudes about death, given the rise of home funerals, that we're ready to be more intimate with it again.
I wish I could have recorded every family I've helped at the end saying, oh, I can't imagine doing it any other way now that we've gone through this. It's just such a wonderful experience. And some people even say, I know it sounds strange, but I even feel like it was fun. There was some, because they become very creative. The whole family gets involved in decorating caskets, sometimes building caskets. They paint them, they decorate the inside, they line them with material. One man was who died loved to work on Volkswagens. So his wife found some material that had Volkswagens all over it, and that's what they used to line the casket.
Huh. Well, we need to take a quick break right now, and then we'll come back and talk more about this, the phenomenon of home funerals on the rise. We're talking this morning with Jerry Grace Lyons. She is a death midwife and the founder of the nonprofit group Final Passages, which educates families about green burials and home burials. And I hope you'll call us this morning, too. Does the idea of a home funeral appeal to you? Maybe you've already participated in one. And do you see signs that Americans are ready to be closer, more intimate with the dying process? Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And our email is talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up today at 11 o'clock on Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry Mueller is in, looking at the future of electricity from renewable sources. His guest is from the National Academy of Engineering. I'm Veronica Rickert, glad to be with you this Thursday morning on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn, and today we're talking about the rise in home funerals. Apparently, home funerals are about at the place home births were about 30 years ago. They are on the rise. They are a lot less expensive than your average funeral parlor funeral, which runs about $6,000. And also we're hearing about, from a death midwife, about the other benefits that can come with a home funeral, what the family gets and what the loved one gets. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. We're talking with Jerry Grace Lyons, the founder of Final Passages and a death midwife. We'll head to the phones right now and take our first call from Mohammed in Milwaukee. Hi, Mohammed.
Hi, well, thank you for letting me call you. I am a Muslim, and I'm just trying to explain, taking this opportunity to explain to you how the Islamic funeral looks like. I was instrumental in getting a Muslim cemetery established in the 80s, and then, of course, some other people took over. We have a small section, Muslim section, I think. It's Wisconsin Memorial Park, somewhere on Capitol Drive in Brookfield. But we had only the section of that park, therefore we have to follow the rules of the park. I discovered that these are the cemeteries who make all the rules to make the money, like the vault and the casket and this and that and blah, blah, blah. If we had our own cemetery, which the state does not require you to do anything. Anyway, this is how we will bury our dead. We must bury them before the sunset. before the next sunset. Mm-hmm. So if someone has died maybe during the night, before the sunset of the next day, they must be buried.
I see.
What we do is we just dig a hole and kind of make an L-shaped hole. In that L, which is going horizontally, we wrap the body in cotton, which is fixed. I think it's like it has to be 9 or 7 or 11 yards. I don't know how much. And we tie the end, it's kind of a little roll, and then you tie the both ends, and you take put the body in that horizontal crevice. In a vertical grave, and you just fill it up, and it has to be unmarked. The King Khalid recently of Saudi Arabia died, and he's buried in an unmarked grave. There are some differences. The conservatives, people who are much more conservative, they don't believe in visiting graves and things like that because we believe the soul is gone. Body is simply earth, and earth goes to earth. So very, very, very simple. I would say you won't even have to. Of course, we wash the body, and then we do this, and we have a prayer at the graveside, or that prayer can be in the masjid or mosque, and we say goodbye. That's it. We probably not even cost you $300, probably cost you $10. That's it, yeah.
So, Muhammad, do you tend then to the body? Does the family or friends tend to the body then?
Oh, yes, the whole community, of course. Hmm. One thing is, after we wash the body, we know that the body is pure. We don't touch the body. Yeah. And if somebody wants to simply see the face, they can simply take the face side of the that's called in Arabic, it's called kafan. You can take that off and, I mean, kind of slide it down and see the face, and then we tie the other end again. And generally speaking, crying and all that is discouraged, but if this is spontaneous crying, spontaneous grief, that is allowed. But, you know, not that, you know, people should be wailing high and whatever and what note, that is not allowed.
Sounds very simple and very like a lovely practice to have the whole community doing that. Have you dealt any with Muslim funerals, Jerry Grace?
Yeah, actually, I had a friend of mine who was I'm a doctor, and he was a doctor too, and he died of a brain tumor. And in those days he did not have an Islamic cemetery. Moreover, he wanted his body to be transported back to Pakistan. And my God, I had to get hermetically sealed caskets, and I had to do this, and I had to do that to sending him over. But even today, we have to have a vault and a casket, which is absolutely nonsense. Because why you are putting this concrete big thing into the ground, which is not biodegradable, nothing. But we have to follow what Wisconsin Memorial Park will tell us.
Right.
We don't have that land; is not ours. It is ours, we have bought it, but we have to follow the rules. We are actively looking to have an Islamic cemetery because we are running out of room in that one. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Muhammad. Jerry Grace Lyons, what do you think when you hear about the practice of Muslim burials like that?
Oh, I think it's so interesting to learn about people's customs. That's why I felt so fortunate to be doing the work I do. I get to see a lot of different cultural ways of handling the body. There are people in the Jewish tradition. People also, if they're Orthodox, they also want to have the body placed in the ground within 24 hours. So I'm a little familiar with some customs. And that is, of course, I think just a couple of times dealt with Orthodox Jewish burial with families that have that particular faith. I think it's all very fascinating because everybody has their own way. So it's just really watching and seeing how different people do it. And that's what makes this country so wonderful, is the mixture of different ways people view death and see death.
But overall, I mean, that's in a way, that's a wonderful thing when people have a strong faith or religion that will give them guidelines on how to deal with death, and those who believe in an afterlife, I think they're not so. They have this wonderful feeling that the person perhaps is in a better place, or they're with God or Allah or whoever they believe in. And sometimes it's hard for people who don't, who are atheists or don't have that faith. But the ritual or ceremonies that people can do with a home funeral help them move through their grief, this way of the whole family participating. So that can help replace some of the rituals that maybe a religion might offer, like the painting of the casket, or the family come together and creating a ceremony in their home with their friends. I've seen many different ways people commemorate, and it's beautiful to watch it, especially when people know they, you know, have some creative license there, when they can decorate the whole room, and it reflects the person's personality, their loved ones, their beloved. They can, you know, like I said, this person used the Volkswagen cloth. Well, different people hang things around them that reflected who they were in life. Whether they played golf or whether they rode horses or whatever it is, they have it there at their fingertips. They can play the music the person loved, and maybe place flowers in there that they loved, and do the kinds of things that they know that person would have appreciated, and not some contrived or made-up kind of ritual.
Hmm. Well, thank you to Muhammad for sharing that with us. And let's move on now to Deborah calling from Evansville. Hi, Deborah.
Good morning. Thank you so much, both of you, for this subject.
I was fortunate
also, even though I am I was raised very traditional Midwest. Our family found a wonderful way to be with our parents at the end of their lives. And honestly, it was offered through what we learned then was called a hospice care. And it was interesting because for my mom, as the eldest in the family, I ended up at her feet rubbing them and telling her it was okay. And it was interesting with all the five children, and so beautiful how we all were at a different place in her body that made so much sense to be touching her at this time. And then with my father, we also had that experience again. And in knowing ahead of time and that we could be there in certain ways was just so lucky for us. And I don't belong to any kind of religion that would be labeled any kind of way. So for all of us, we felt we had to find our own way to walk through the days and get through the traditional versus our own personal processes. And we made beautiful things and wrote together the final things that we would have, and all questioned then again in our own futures, what do we want for our families? And that's why I feel so excited that you are bringing up this subject this way, because I think there are a lot of people like me who grew up in love. I live in Wisconsin, grew up here, and still feel sort of like a silent minority, not affiliated with a particular religion, but have love and spirit and faith and ideas about how we would like to pass on our bodies back to the earth. So I thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, Deborah. And do you feel like, given the chance to be there with both of your parents when they passed and to, sounds like, plan things around their deaths that helped you to honor their lives and to find some sort of celebration of their lives for yourselves to take away, do you feel like going through that helped you to stop fearing death?
Oh, yes, and it also healed us so much more quickly, I think, than we could have healed through it. Just to have us all be able to be there, it was just I know not everyone at all would have that opportunity. And only in looking back, I could say, you know, I mean, we didn't plan it that way, but it was so beautiful that we could be. For me, I took away such a healthy healing process through it. It gave us a lot of words to reuse later, and thoughts and things that we knew were real for us. In a very Christian world, a very traditional process we had to do for everyone else. But all the siblings were lucky enough to have some choices in what we did to heal ourselves through it. So that's what I appreciate as a midwife. I know that's what you're giving people, and I just so honor you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the call, Debra. We appreciate that. And Jerry Grace, do you want to comment on that one?
Boy, that was a beautiful story, and one that I'm very familiar with. People are so just healed by the opportunity to spend time with a person that they love so much, and who better to take care of their body or be with them at that intimate time and tender time than the people that love them the most. So that is wonderful. It also, she brought up another benefit, which is people from all different faiths and walks of life can come together and be able to commemorate in their own way. So we had a one man who died. His mother and father had divorced when he was young. The father had gone on and remarried a Mormon woman, I believe, into the Mormon faith, and had four more children with this woman. And then actually the deceased, the young man's mother, had taken on a female partner. So she lived in a lesbian community. When the son died, they all came together, and they celebrated together in their own way, but together. They in the chapel, the Mormon children got up and sang psalms from the Mormon prayer book, and the women did a dance to Fly Like an Eagle, because this man had actually jumped from a building. So he had flown from the building, and they were playing a song, Fly Like an Eagle. And one of the women did this dance with a cape, and it looked like a person flying, like a bird flying. And it was quite lovely to watch everyone come together, and they all joined hands and went into the crematorium room, actually, and watched the casket be placed into the chamber. And they held hands in a circle and sang Amazing Grace and some other songs. So it was beautiful to see all of them come together. The father and his son built the casket for his son, and the women, the mother and her friends, decorated it, painted it, and lined the inside.
Some of that I would think you could do with a funeral parlor too. I think they probably have some simple offerings and will often sort of suggest a format, but that you can have input. So it's interesting to hear some of these ideas. If you're not a family that can do the home burial, maybe you can invest it with some of these personal touches that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly people can do some. I'd say more and more people are having more relevant services at chapels, churches, funeral home rooms, where they give opportunity for friends and family to speak up during the service, be able to tell some stories of how they first met the person or funny stories about them, instead of it all just being religious and prayers, which is fine to include if that's appropriate for the person who died.
But home funerals give way to making it personal and fitting that the uniqueness of that person.
We need to take another break right now, and then we'll come back and take more of your phone calls as we talk about home funerals and the rise in home funerals with Jerry Grace Lyons, who's a death midwife and the founder of Final Passages. Our phone number this morning, 1-800-642-1234. You can share your own stories or tell us if you think that the idea of a home funeral appeals to you. Maybe you have questions about how to do your own. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Veronica Rickert in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this morning at 12:30 here on Wisconsin Public Radio, join us for Chapter a Day. Carl Schmidt is reading from a book called The Other by David Guterson. It's a novel about youth and idealism, adulthood and its compromises, and two powerfully different visions of what it means to live a good life. I'm Veronica Rickert, glad to be with you this morning. On Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn. And this morning, we're talking about the rise of home funerals and just what that experience is like. There was an interesting article in the July 21st New York Times called Home Burials Offer an Intimate Alternative, kind of tracing the rise of the home funeral and looking at different examples. And Jerry Grace Lyons, our guest today, is someone who helps people perform their own home funerals. She's also a death midwife. And if you'd like to talk to her this morning, our number is 1-800-642-1234, and our email is talk@wpr.org. And we'll go back to the phone lines now. We've got Susie here from Viroqua. Hi, Susie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. I actually have two questions. The first is, my husband and I would both like a home funeral, and he is fine with being cremated. My preference would be to be buried on our private property, and my understanding is that wouldn't be legal, and I'm wondering if there's a way to make that legal or if there are green cemeteries in Wisconsin. And then secondly, what does the midwife suggest regarding talking to extended family about our wishes should we pass at the same time so that our wishes could be honored?
Jerry Grace?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not certain about Wisconsin law and burial. I do want to mention there is a group in Wisconsin, Charlene Elderkin, who attended one of my courses. I teach courses about honoring life's final passage. That's what they're called. And it's all about death and dying and exploring your own and planning, pre-planning for your own death, which is something not many people in this country do. And so the name of the group that this woman started, her name is Charlene Elderkin, and she started a group called In the Light, and they're in Wisconsin. So I'm sure that they would have a lot of information about Wisconsin law and burial, and you probably can find out quite a bit from them. If you can't find them, you could give me a call after the show, and I'm happy to give you her email address, and you can contact her. There's a whole group of people who have been meeting and talking about supporting people with home funerals and green burials in your state of Wisconsin. And I would strongly urge people and encourage people to pre-plan for their home funeral. I know that in this country, I mean, that the expression has gone around that Americans are the only culture that believe that death is optional. So often we are in denial of that we are actually going to die one day. So in the Buddhist tradition, they say it's really a good thing to contemplate our death when we're feeling good. That is, sit and think about our death and make plans for it so we're prepared and our family is prepared. I think this is one of the greatest gifts that we can give our family is writing down what we would like when we die so that when they're in the throes of grief and sometimes shock over a death, that they will be able to read something, follow instruction, and know what you wanted. That makes a family member feel really good to know this and to be able to follow something. And that's what I learned when Carolyn left her instructions. We were able to read what she wanted, what kind of music she loved, what kind of flowers she wanted, what kind of ceremony she wanted. And so it made it easy when we were in so much shock over her sudden death to know how to handle it.
Well, thank you for that call, Susie. And we're trying to see if we can track down a contact for In the Light, which is the Wisconsin group. But we'll see if we have luck with that. And if not, Final Passages is the website or the group of Jerry Grace Lyons. And you can find them online and get in touch that way as well. So good luck with that. And thank you for that call. And now to Louise in Chautauqua. Hi, Louise.
Hi. I'm really enjoying your program.
Thank you.
I worked with hospice for quite a while. I have now retired from a regular job and just kind of feel led to work more in this type of field. Where did you get your training is what I was interested in, and I'm also from Wisconsin, so I've been trying to find out our laws and things and have not had good luck as to where to go.
Uh-huh.
The other question I'd have is, when you go out and help a family, do you charge? I mean, I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm sure it does, but at some point, you couldn't do it all for free. So how do you figure out what to charge? And the other question is, what happens when a family disagrees? So part of you think a home funeral would be wonderful and back to earth, and the rest say, absolutely not, we want a funeral home, I don't want anything to do with this.
Mm-hmm. Good questions.
Lots of questions. you might have to repeat some of this, but my training came from just going out and following my heart, and I did certainly look into the laws in California first to see what I could do, what families could do, what they couldn't do, when, how soon a death certificate had to be filed after a death, for instance. And I called a group of people to my home, and we began a discussion there. And we started meeting every week for a whole year. And we went out together, at least two of us at a time, the first year I was doing this, to meet with families and talk to them about what they wanted and how we were willing to help them through what we had gone through with Carolyn. And so it was a kind of learn by doing. We also met with the agencies that we thought we would be working with, the Office of Vital Records, or sometimes County Registrar's Office, depends on what state you're talking about. So it's where you would register the birth and death. That's usually who has the information about the regulations of home funerals. Also, Lisa Carlson wrote a book called Caring for the Dead, Your Final Act of Love. She's in her second revision, and that book includes all the state laws for caring for your own home funerals in each state. So she's revising it because the laws have changed since she last revised it.
What is the name of that book again?
Caring for the Dead, Your Final Act of Love.
Okay.
Lisa Carlson. And I want to let the listeners know about the Funeral Consumers Alliance. Josh Locum is the executive director, and he's actually working on the revision of that book, Caring for the Dead, with Lisa. He's wonderfully knowledgeable about many things. He's a great consumer advocate. He's heads up a national organization called Funeral Consumers Alliance. They help people with all kinds of problems concerning funerals. And their website, there is a website there, it's funerals.org. Funerals.org. Very important to know about. So, those are ways to find out about the laws in your state concerning home burial, and home funerals. And so that's where I got my training, was out in the field, and it was, because I knew that it took a lot of energy to map this out, I wanted to save people the reinventing the wheel. So I began to teach after a number of years of doing this. And I've been teaching people, and people have been going back to their community and taking this information and starting their own support groups or individual businesses. Some women have even gone on and gotten funeral director's license and are offering home funerals through their through a funeral home. So people are, you know, just all over the map with how they're doing this. In terms of me getting paid, I'm a minister, and so when I meet with a family, I go over with them what it is that they would like assistance with. Some of them just want instruction on how to carry out their own home funeral, and others would like me to facilitate. And then I have to find out what sort of facilitation do they want help with. Preparing the body, that is the bathing, anointing them with oils, maybe a ceremony, which I think of it all as ceremony and ritual. The actual blessing of the body is beautiful. I've seen a six-year-old on the bed with a washcloth washing his daddy's chest, and it just brought tears to me to watch this. And he just, it was so sweet to see this. So, and they might want me to help with, I usually bring dry ice over to help preserve the body because they're going to have a wake for several days, and that's how the body stays cool. And I'll usually help them, like if they want the cardboard cremation casket, we'll bring it to their home so they can decorate it. They might want then help with the paperwork, filing the death certificate. In our state, the disposition permit as well. Sometimes there's a transportation permit in different states. So you need to know which paperwork, what paperwork needs to be completed and in how soon you have to file it. I'll go with the family to file it. I can refer them to tell them about the various funeral homes in our town that will work with them for cremation, or if they want a green burial. We're fortunate in this area to have a couple of cemeteries offering green burials. But
what is meant by green burial?
Green burials are earth-friendly. They mean no. It means no embalming, so no toxic chemicals.
Okay.
Body. No vaults. You heard somebody mention vaults. That's a grave liner usually made out of cement or plastic. So there's none of that going into the earth. And it means being placed in the ground either in a shroud, as your Muslim guest spoke about, or in a biodegradable casket of some kind, either a simple pine box, or it could be made out of willow or bamboo or banana leaf or even paper mache. All of these new type of caskets are being discovered now and used. And right now, some of them are being imported into this country, but eventually I'm sure we'll develop manufacturers that will produce these lovely caskets that break down very quickly so the body can return to the earth as it was meant to. Instead of the cement boxes. The vaults are just placed in lawn cemeteries mostly because when the casket breaks down, the earth will sink. So the vault prevents the earth from sinking. But they also are placing, I believe as Joe Sihe says, he's head of the, I think it's the Green Burial Council, it's enough cement to pave the two-lane highway from San Francisco to Phoenix, Arizona. That's how much cement is put in the ground every year.
Wow.
Yeah, and enough steel from metal caskets to build the Golden Gate Bridge every year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. So we have to rethink how we're treating our earth and the resources we're using up, not to mention all the water that's used to water the lawn cemeteries when many states are now in a drought.
Those are some interesting points. So I imagine we'll see more of that as the world turns more eco-conscious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we have any green burial places in Wisconsin. That would be interesting to note as well. And I just wanted to mention, we're just about at the end of the hour here, but my on-air producer, Sarah Carroll, did some digging around, and she thinks that Charlene Elderkin's new organization is called Threshold Care Circle. Let me just make sure I have that right.
I think that's a different organization, but I could be wrong, but I've heard of Threshold Care Circle. Maybe I don't know.
I guess we're not going to solve the mystery.
I haven't actually spoken with Charlene for a little while. I've heard of Threshold Care Circle, but I'm not sure that's the one. There's actually, in the New York Times, they said there was 45 organizations. I don't know if there's that many, but you can go back to that New York Times article, and there was a site listed. There's a home funeral directory that two women in Austin.
I'm sorry. But we can. We're just 15 seconds left here.
Okay.
But the New York Times article is "Home Burials Offer an Intimate Alternative" in the July 21st issue. And Jerry Grace, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. It was lovely.
Jerry Grace Lyons, the founder of Final Passages, and thank you for listening this morning and for calling in. I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network.